AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you this week. Matt, Brett here. A lot to get to about this weekend, but I just want to give you a heads up here. Later on this week, I think it's going to be Thursday, Fuglesang is going to join us for a little bit of a preview of the Blue State Ball.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So, yeah, we're working on me getting to talk with him. Hopefully you guys in the afternoon get to talk with him on the Rip Hop, blah, 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 whatever that is after me. That show. You. People? Okay. That's after us. We'll probably look at something like that for next week. And then also we got to get Tom on the air.
Yeah, we haven't had Tom on, have we, before?
He's been on the air with us as a guest, but he like pants all of us because, I mean, he's just so damn smart. Seriously, it's like,
tell me more about light. It is pretty and bright.
Yeah, that's always nice to feel that way. So listen for that. And, of course, the Blue State Ball is coming up here. We are less than 2 weeks away from the Blue State Ball. The Blaisdell in Minneapolis, March 2nd. 5 p.m. is the VIP. 6:30 is general admission. Get your tickets at am950radio.com. There's a link there, am950radio.com. We're going to have politicos there. Do we have any announcements yet?
We only have state auditor Julie Blaha. As you're aware, they don't RSVP till like the day before. Well, just because of their schedules. I mean, they're so busy.
Considering the crazy train that's Trump, you know, you don't know. And we've had years where we've ended up losing most of our guests at the last second because there were votes and stuff that were being held up. So we try our best and we understand we're going to be there. We are expecting a lot of politicos, but once again, Julie Blaha, state auditor, is going to be there. We'd love for you to be there as well. Once again, am950radio.com. So the weekend, how is the weekend for you?
For me, it was all right. How about you?
All right. We went out. I got a little ice skating done. Went on out to Lake of the Isles. You know that area they plow off the kind of like the northeast side of it, that little spit that runs up to the water tower on that side? That ice is like 2 feet thick. That is some thick ice, man. That's like could hold a semi-thickness. I mean, that is amazing how thick that is. Lovely. I love how that's always one of my favorite places to skate because if you go on out there, you got that nice view of downtown Minneapolis right on the kind of the northern end of that. You can actually see the buildings down there, so that's always nice. But got out, did a little bit of that. Had a problem that I think a lot of people end up having. One of my outdoor faucets started to leak. And all of a sudden, I had one of those, like, it was like one of the walls in the ice castle exhibit out on Lake Minnetonka. You know, it was just, you know, shimmering ice capade going on. So I ended up having to get that fixed this weekend. But I did get to chat with someone about, they took a picture in front of a turkey. And I said, where was this turkey at? And he said, well, it's a South Minneapolis. I said, okay, you're fine. Because as long as it's not one of the Northeast Minneapolis turkeys. And the gangs those guys run into.
Oh, that's
those guys. People and the minute I mentioned that to him, he goes, "Oh no, I wouldn't even get close to a Northeast Minneapolis turkey." He set this on his own. Oh. I'm like, oh, okay. It's nice to know their reputation precedes them. He goes, "There's no way in the planet I'd get near one of them." People talk about the turkeys of Northeast Minneapolis like they're talking about John Wick. You know, he's the turkey you call to kill the boogeyman. they are a fun group. If you're ever in the Northeast Minneapolis area, you be careful of those turkeys. They're a little more territorial. How about I say it like that? By the way, the guy also made the great point this week, and he goes, if a Democratic president questioned any member of the FBI, do you think the Republicans would ever tolerate that? Ever tolerate even questioning one FBI agent? If a Democrat ever questioned one FBI agent, CIA intelligence analyst, anyone from the intelligence community, if a Democratic president questioned the integrity of one of them, can you hear? I can hear the speeches. How dare they criticize our intelligence agencies, the hardworking men and women of these agencies? They would. And I thought, I was like, you know what? We have to, in this day of age of Trump, we have to remember what is normal. And it's not normal to constantly be attacking the intelligence agencies, just because the intelligence they happen to capture makes you look like an absolute fool and a traitor to this country, for that matter. I think that that's indisputable. So keep that in perspective. Definitely keep that in perspective. 952-946-6205. Happy President's Day to you. Pick your favorite president. Clearly not the guy we got right now. And of course, you have to have your hair done just like him by the end of the day. Me, I've gone with the old Chester A. Arthur. Nothing like those lamb chops going on the sides, man. That is a guy that liked his facial hair. I'm just, call it what it was. Chester A. 952-946-6205. Speaking of unruly animals, I want to bring up this guy. This is out of Bluestem Prairie. And there's a guy who's a huge Trump guy called Front Row Joe. And he's from Lakefield. And he's this guy that he's always at, you know, when they talk about Trump talks about his, you know, what, 6,000 people that showed up for his rally in El Paso. That's not people in El Paso. It's guys like Front Row Joe who will drive halfway across the country just to be in the audience for the guy. Someone told me it's like you could actually look and photograph an audience at a Trump rally and a year later take another photograph at a different Trump rally, and his estimate would be 60 to 70% of the people, even though they could be on complete opposite sides of the country, they would be pretty much the same exact crowds. So that's kind of what it is. So that's who Front Row Joe is. I'll get back to that in a second. Let's get to Jeff in Prior Lake. He wanted to chime in on the Blue State Ball, of all things. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Hey, Matt, how are you? I can't wait for the Blue State Ball in Minnesota. If you haven't gone, go. I met you, Matt, and then I also met you at the Stephanie Miller show, and I also met John Vilgosain there. He was wonderful. I met Lori Swanson last year. I got my picture and a book autograph with Tom Hartman. And I spent a half hour listening to Norman Goldman. And you don't probably remember, Matt, but I followed you around for about 15 minutes. So I'd just like to say, Minnesota, go. It's a great time. You're going to meet. If you're a political junkie like me, there's no other place to go but the Blue State Ball and hang out with Matt McNeil.
I am one of the many people to hang out with, of course. You mentioned Fugelsang, Tom Hartman, both going to be there as well. And thanks, Jeff. I appreciate the very nice comments there. I look forward to that as well. You can always find Brett Hunter. All the weekend shows are all going to be there. The I Am Awake guys, Robert Pilot, Paul Metz is going to be there. Everyone's going to be there. Padgett's going to be there too, right?
Padgett will be there. And Ellie. You heard Hunter's the DJ.
Okay. Who likes 17th century Gregorian chants? I do.
I thought it was going to be German techno music.
Well, it's a merging of the two. It's really kind of avant-garde. It's usually stuff you only find in those back rooms of the Walker. But he's got a whole collection of that stuff, so looking forward to it. Prepare to be amazed. Ellie Krug's going to be there as well. We'd love to have you out there. AM950radio.com is where you find tickets at this. Okay, back to Front Row Joe. So you know who this guy is. As a matter of fact, this guy got a little bit of attention because he was arrested recently at an Elizabeth Warren event. Basically, this guy is Randall is his name, and he's basically. He's got a little bit of a problem here, what's amazing is how dishonest he is. That is sort of how he's representing it. The story out of the Forum News Service: shooting death of Minnesota dog named Donald Trump wasn't over politics, sheriff says. A southwestern Minnesota man and his dog are making national headlines after his dog named Donald Trump was fatally shot Sunday, February 10th, in an incident in Jackson County. Sheriff's office said was legal and not politically motivated. The news of the death of Randall Tom's Siberian Husky, named after the president, began spreading Monday when Tom took to his personal Facebook page to show a photo of him lying on the ground next to the dead dog, which had visible gunshot wounds. The 3-year-old dog, Tom claims, was shot 4 times by his neighbor and then suffered his death in a cornfield a mile and a half from the property in rural Lakefield. The neighbor has not been publicly identified. A variety of reactions surfaced across social media, particularly after a GoFundMe page was created to solicit donations. The page, which had garnered approximately $3,600 from more than 115 donors by Thursday afternoon, made the claim Tom's neighbor shot the dog because of the name. So the GoFundMe page was set up. Now, I'm not sure if you know, this Front Row Joe was, you know, is the guy that set up the GoFundMe, but clearly who did misrepresented it. The page appeals to Tom's veteran status with the title "Military Vet's Dog Named Donald Trump Shot Dead," as if that negates the owner, the livestock owner, to protect the property. Because basically, this is what happened. In Thursday's interview, Tom said he'd heard negative comments around town about the dog's name, but doesn't necessarily believe that the motivation behind the killing of the dog. So Tom's admitting himself that this was not the case. As reactions and reports, rumors continue to spread, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office issued a press release late Wednesday afternoon regarding Tom's known 3-year history with the department regarding his dogs. The office had found 14 reports related to Tom's dogs running at large on the road in a county park onto neighbors' private property, biting a person who required medical attention, attacking other dogs, chasing cattle and deer, and killing goats, chickens, and turkeys. Tom said that years ago, a couple of his dogs killed 4 of the neighbors' goats. Tom claimed to have paid him more than $1,000 and thought they'd come to an agreement to get along. Well, I mean, okay, quick side note here. Your agreement to get along probably included you keeping control of your animals. Hey, I don't like when dogs get shot, but the reality is this guy's dog doesn't sound like it was a, you know, cuddly little poodle. I mean, this dog sounds like it's been a nuisance. Tom has been served with 2 potentially dangerous dog notifications, has pending misdemeanor charges from incidents related to his dogs. The release added the sheriff's office conducted and completed an investigation in relation to the circumstance of the dog's February 10th death. The investigation, the release said, found that the owner was legally protecting their livestock on the private property at their time. According to Minnesota state statute, the livestock owner or caretaker may kill any dog found chasing, injuring, or worrying livestock and landowner controlled by the owner. The dog is destroying livestock. Farmers don't particularly care what a good boy the dog, the dog's name per se. This is the dog has attacked people, and that's the thing. And once again, it bit someone requiring medical attention. Okay, I love pets like the next guy. You have to control your animal. And I live in a city where we have very strict leash laws, and you don't generally let your dog go running free. And if you did, now granted, and there's no livestock, there's no farms in Hopkins anymore, but at the same time, there are cars, there are raccoons, there are coyotes, there's bigger dogs. And there are some psychopaths out there who will see a dog they don't know, and the first thing they do is grab a gun. So, yeah, it's wildly dangerous to do this. I brought this up because I just want to make sure we understand the intention here is to, and from wherever this GoFundMe page came from, and wherever you see on social media where the dog was just shot because his name was Donald Trump. No, the dog was shot because it was attacking a neighbor's livestock on their property. After a lifetime of problems with this dog not being under control. And the fact that this guy, this Front Row Joe, is allowing this GoFundMe page to misrepresent what exactly happened is a travesty in itself. But of course, I think he wants the $3,600 that have been raised so far. That's what he's looking for at the end. There is a level of dishonesty in regards to every Republican, the current Republican here, that they cannot be honest with themselves. And if they can always turn themselves into a victim, they will. The real victim here is the farmer who's not only, I get the impression that's the same guy. Not only did he have 4 of his goats killed by the dog, but now he had to shoot the dog. And I don't think that this is anything that, you know, people are particularly proud of, especially if it comes down to it. But if you're talking about your livestock, well, you know, and I guess here's the thing, which I don't understand. This dog was attacking people, and the owner is at fault here. The owner is at fault. But how do you allow this? It's only a matter of time before this dog attacks a kid. And, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, you got to think about the poor dog. You can't have dogs attacking people, and you can't have them running across the street. I mean, there is such a level of poor pet ownership and just poor human making decisions going on here by this guy. But let alone this idea of trying to raise money off the suggestion that his dog was shot because his name is Donald Trump. But then again, considering how wild and out of control and just completely disregarding of everything that this dog apparently was, maybe that actually was the most appropriate name you could probably give the dog. Still, sad, it's tragic that the dog had to get shot, but the reality is if you're looking for someone to blame here, blame the owner. Because he didn't care about that dog, because if he cared about that dog, the dog would have been being cared for. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A lot of other things to get to today as well. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Our forests, flooding our coastlines, and parking the polar vortex in our own backyard. What can we do? Please join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska for a one-hour talk from meteorologist Paul Douglas on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul's new book is called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. This talk is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series hosted at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. It has the big red rocker out front at 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by the Southwest Metro and Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, Interfaith Power and Light, and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha. We are sleepwalking into a disaster. Climate change is burning down our forests, flooding our coastlines, and parking the polar vortex in our own backyard. What can we do? Please join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska for a one-hour talk from meteorologist Paul Douglas on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul's new book is called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. This talk is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series hosted at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. It has the big red rocker out front at 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by the Southwest Metro and Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, Interfaith Power and Light, and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, February 19th, 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
Hello. If your taxes from years past are talking to you from the back of that drawer in your desk, it might be about time you answered the call by making a call to Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul.
Time to come out now.
They've been preparing tax returns and creating advisory-based relationships with their clients since 1971.
Kind of stuffy in here.
Problems with the IRS don't go away by ignoring them. Call Moe's Tax Service. That's M-O-H-S. They're on Ford Parkway in St. Paul. 621-2026, 721-2026.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
I will say this. There are, dogs are great. Dogs specifically, I'm going to talk to dogs. Dogs are specifically are fantastic. If you treat a dog well, and if you are a good owner, and if you, you know, maintain that you're the leader of the pack, and you treat the dog with respect and kindness, and be that leader figure at once, the dogs are brilliant. Dogs are brilliant. Not all dogs, same thing with humans, are perfect. I mean, there are some bad dogs. But I will say this. Bad owners very rarely lead to a good dog. And good dogs generally do not come from owners who are really, really bad at what they're doing when they're owning a pet. And so it's the behavior of the dog is the responsibility of the human that is the pack leader. And in this case, this guy clearly was, I mean, at what point when it's killing other animals, are you like, okay, I need to keep you in a, you know, locked up? I don't understand. I mean, I'm not saying locked up in a, you know, a 4x4 cage, but, you know, in a backyard in a penned in area can still run around, but is not out, you know, terrorizing the neighborhood, potentially biting people. I mean, that's my main point. Speaking of getting bit, the Trump administration and key GOP lawmakers are now playing defense after early data shows Americans are getting jobbed on their tax refunds in the first filing season under the GOP tax law. The average refund size through February 8th was 8.7% smaller than the same period last year, according to the IRS figures. Democrats have seized on this and are kind of taking it to task. Well, we don't have to seize on it. There are stories pretty much everywhere of furious Republican Trump fans who basically are seeing their tax bill come back. You know, they're either paying one woman I saw was saying her tax bill rose five times as much as it was under Donald Trump. And the reaction is simple. Okay, when you look at this, at what is going on today in this country, the Republicans have gotten to the point where for them to give millionaires and billionaires and the biggest corporations tax breaks, they are now having to basically bluntly just raise the taxes of the middle and lower class and just taking that money. Because what you're doing, when you're paying this money, what you're doing is just giving your money to a millionaire and a billionaire. That's it. There might be one mid-stop in midway, but it's pretty much a straight A to B line. You are paying more in taxes so that the wealthy don't have to pay money in taxes. That is it. And that's not, I mean, as the Republicans scream about socialism, I'll make the point is like, that's not democracy. That's an aristocratic system based on almost a monarch-style worshiping of wealth. And that's insanity. Take a look at Trump's border wall. Where is part of that money coming from? That money is coming from the military bases. You're taking money away from military family housing. If you've never been on a military base, let me explain. Obviously, there's a lot of single guys on the base who are living in kind of, you know, like an apartment complex, especially non-commissioned officers. Or should we say just regular soldiers, the, you know, E3s and below, you know, private first class and, you know, privates and stuff like that. Those people are E1s, E2s, E3s. They're basically living in kind of a glorified apartment complex, probably some E4s in there, corporal specialists. They're in there as well. Then they have non-commissioned officer housing, which might or might be, you know, separate from that, which would be a separate apartment complex. And then, of course, they have officer housing as well. If you're married and stationed at this base, your family gets to come along with you, and then you are housed in a military housing area. And so, and if you've ever been on a military base, they look like any other neighborhood, but you're very suburban, you know, and people usually have a nice little yard, and it's nice. But a lot of these places, these facilities are ancient and old, and they need to be updated. And the military does the best they can to try to, you know, help out the families as the best they can. But, I mean, it's hard. And so you have a, you know, this is money that has been set aside to help with military facilities, which includes military housing, not only for the single soldiers, but for the married soldiers as well. This is where we are at in this country because of Republican policy to give as much taxpayer dollars back to the wealthy as possible. We are now raiding military family housing budgets just so we can give these massive tax breaks to the wealthy. The entire reason why the Republican Party has got the post office building up this massive pension fund for their mail carriers is not because of the safety and sanctity of the mail service if they survive the process of building up this big nest egg. It's so that there will be this massive amount of money that they will raid one day and give to wealthy millionaires and billionaires. That is the reality. And so they've actually started, I mean, that's pretty nefarious and sinister if you think about it. We're actually going to start make you guys make a savings account of money, which we will eventually go raid. Because they have taken every bit of money now. They're at the point where if they want to give another massive amount of tax breaks to the wealthy, they have to either just borrow a ton of money, which is, you know, making the deficit explode. And by the way, do not overlook the deficit. I mean, it was bad under Obama. It's horrific under Trump. And that weight is going to start pulling down the entire economy before too long. The other way is that they get rid of something like Social Security. And one day they are, and trust me, there are Republicans who have thought about this, just taking the entire Social Security, giving it to the wealthiest 1% of the population, and just looking at you and saying, gee willikers, we'd like to give you your money, but you know, we gave out tax cuts to them. And there is still no guarantee that that won't happen because, and if they have to pay down the deficit by getting rid of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, getting rid of food stamps, getting rid of all military housing, and I guess leaving our troops to camp in tents when they're in military bases. If that's where we get to, the reason why we are is that we're basically having to pay down the debt. So, because we're paying off wealthy people tax breaks. That's where we are at today. And any fool who looked at this, I mean, trust me, there wasn't one or two economists who looked at this tax bill as it was being presented and said, wow, this is going to absolutely screw over the economy, especially the middle and lower working class. All you Republicans said, no, it won't. It will be the greatest tax bill of all time. You said this. You moron said this. You did. I heard you. You guys, a few of you knuckleheads called my show and said it. It's going to be the great. We're going to have a GDP of 20,000%. It will be the greatest economy ever. Yeah, funny story. No, it's not. And our deficit is skyrocketing. But once again, it's always a nice chance for me to bring up the point of all you Republicans who used to scream about the deficit. And you said, hey, it's not the color of Barack Obama's skin that upsets me. It's the deficit. And if a Republican ever had a deficit half this bad, I would be just as vocal at that as I am with Barack Obama. You remember that? I remember that. I remember that. What was the last time you heard any of your Republican friends complain about the deficit under Trump? Never? Same with me. So I think we know it was about the color of Barack Obama's skin. I think we have our definitive proof at this point. Prepare yourself for your tax returns, because if you are used to getting, $1,000, maybe $1,500, you already got that spent. I would not be counting those chickens before they hatch. All right, I'm just going to let you know. Thanks, Donald Trump. You suck. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Are you concerned about health care reform, deportation, gun violence, the Line 3 pipeline? Learn how to make your voice heard. Register now for the Min by Min Beyond the Vote conference on Sunday, February 24th at Harding High School in St. Paul. Minnesota artist and Northland Poster Collective co-founder Ricardo Levins Morales will kick off the day as the keynote speaker. The day-long conference features a variety of workshops and activities to help you better understand the issues, boost your activism skills, and connect with activist and advocacy communities across the state. Be sure to visit the exhibitor tables and try out the new hosted interactive walk-up stations. Register today at mnxmn.org. Early bird rates are available through Valentine's Day. Student discounts, scholarships, and child supervision are also available. Or sign up as a volunteer and attend sessions for free. For more details or to register, visit mnxmn.org. That's Min by Min Beyond the Vote, Sunday, February 24th at Harding High School in St. Paul. Min by Min, empowering civic engagement in Minnesota.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Deb making the comment this on the Facebook live stream. You can watch the show if you so like. Really? Okay. It's not the radio I was used to. That was called TV. But hey, you know, I'm getting old. You can watch me if you so desire. Go to Facebook, go to the Facebook page, am950radio.com. And of course, occasionally we do broadcast it on Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show, too. Deb making a comment, Rochester reporting present. Got my ticket for Blue State Ball. Some of us are making a full day on March 2nd. DFL State Central Committee meeting, CD2's Mardi Gras event. Wait a minute here. Did we get an invite to the CD2 Mardi Gras event?
That was like a party.
Mardi Gras, yes. Yeah. It generally is. We like CD2. CD2 is a nice district. We could swing on by before BSB.
Hunter will even provide music.
You know, it's, no. It's but no. I don't know how much Alvin and the Chipmunks we can all take. So anyway, of course, she's going to join us on the Blue State Ball as well. Thanks, Deb. We look forward to seeing you out there. We'd love to see you out there as well, once again, at the Blue State Ball. And hey, Curtis West, by the way. Hey, Curtis, we're going to see you out there as well, part of I Am Awake, Native Roots Radio. So we'll see you guys out there, too. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. One of my favorite restaurants is Nightingale. Oh, it's just fantastic. Great concept. You got these little sharing plates. Bruschetta's great for if you're hungry on your own. You're going to get together with some friends. You get some sharing plates there. Fantastic seafood. Unbelievable vegetarian options as well, and a great atmosphere. 2551 Lindale Avenue is south in Minneapolis. It is Nightingale, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Matt is in Minneapolis and has been holding. Welcome on in, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Say, I was looking at what was going on here with the taxes about a year ago, and I was just like, I better change something and something fast here because we're going to end up owing a significant amount of money. And so what I ended up doing was I've got kids. I'm a family guy. I ended up taking half of my deductibles off of there, off of my W-2s, because I knew that if I let my taxes stay the same and just took the deductibles that they said I was entitled to, that I would end up getting screwed and owing five grand in taxes. And lo and behold, we do our taxes this year. We ended up with a return, but that was with the adjustments that I had taken in according to it. And, you know, the thing that's really frustrating is I'm a union worker. I'm not even able to put to write my union dues off anymore. And there's a number of things. It's like we're getting screwed to hell and back with all this. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, Matt.
No problem. And it's no likely about it. You are getting screwed. We're all getting screwed. And what did Matt just describe there? He had to go to the most base level of taxes and had to pay in the maximum amount, or I'm going to presume a maximum amount when he took off all of his deductions, and pay that in just to get a minor refund. Because of the federal tax system has been screwed up. And the reason why is because all of our taxpayer dollars, all those benefits that we used to get in many states, being able to write off your mortgage, you know, as you talked about union dues, stuff like that. These things have disappeared because Republicans want to give all the money to the wealthy people that give them campaign donations and give them their huge jobs afterwards. And not just them, they'll give their kid a job, they'll give their grandkid a job, their wife will be part of the board or their husband will be part of the board, they'll get stock options, all these things. They get paid 7-8 figures sometimes as a reward for this because they don't care about representing the people. The Republicans about 25, 30 years ago stopped caring about representing the people and started looking at these jobs, at these representation or a Senate position as a stepping stone to a larger amount of money. They consider it almost like an extension of their college degree. Go out there. Just the trick is to basically dupe the people into voting for you. You get in there, you basically don't do anything for the constituents, but don't worry, Republicans will keep voting for you anyway because they hate Democrats more than they love their quality of life. So if you just are the Republican, no matter if you never give them anything in return or, I don't know, take all their tax deductions and give them to the wealthiest people, they'll still vote for you because they're dupes. That's what they're banking on. And this is only going to get worse because, like I said at the last talk set, we are at the point now where they're having to go into stuff that is very unappetizing on the outside to basically start taking money away from. I mean, Republicans could care less about taking money away from hurricane victims in Puerto Rico. They hate them. They don't like them. They don't care about them. They never have. No, I refuse to tone that down. They do not care about Puerto Rico and the hurricane victims down there. Heck, they barely care about the disaster victims of California wildfires. Well, they don't really care about the California wildfires because that's one of those big Democrat states, even though those wildfires occur in areas where they've had still strong Republican support. They don't care about you. They'll care about a hurricane hitting Houston or the southeastern United States to a point. But they're shifting all that money into this border wall. You know, this is just who they are. They don't care. There is no more money. We have given as much money as we possibly can to the biggest corporations and the wealthiest Americans, and they still are looking for ways to spend. And whatever happened to the fiscally conservative Republican? You guys that used to say, you know what, I'd rather we didn't build this border wall because it's not going to really, they would do a thoughtful cost analysis and say, well, it's not really going to stop anyone from coming here. It really is only a symbolic gesture at best, and it's going to cost us an insane amount of money, and we're going to have to eminent domain a ton of land across the border to do so, and to get the money to do it, we have to pull money away from military bases and family housing on military bases and relief for wildfires. Fires in California and hurricane. No. We're not going to do that. That's called fiscally irresponsible. Have you heard it? One Republican come on out here and just absolutely level this idea? No. A few of them have hemmed and hawed a little bit. That's not my favorite option on the table. They don't care. They don't care. They stopped caring about you guys 30 years ago, and they're just wondering how long. Is there still going to be ink in the well for them? How long can they continue to mistreat their own constituents for the benefit of themselves, whether it's their campaigns or their post-election jobs? How long can they convince you dupes that they're still doing something for you? 952-946-6205, including several cigarette brands, including Winston and Salem, have stopped paying money owed to the state of Minnesota under the historic 1998 court settlement with Big Tobacco. The shortfall is estimated at $15 million a year, come as funding for the state's free quit smoking assistance program is set to expire next year. Without new funds, Minnesota would be the only state that does not provide a free tobacco cessation program. Even as teen tobacco use is rising and a historic drop in adult tobacco appears to be slowing down, the state has used tobacco firms to recapture the funds, and bills were introduced in the legislature last week to dedicate any resulting money into anti-tobacco efforts. Those efforts include the Quit the free quit plan program, now operated by Clearway Minnesota, a nonprofit established using some money from the original $6.5 billion tobacco lawsuit settlement. Still, Minnesota pulled in $154 million in 2018 in tobacco settlement payments from brands that have been paying, as well as $648 million in taxes on tobacco products. That revenue goes into the state general fund with little spent on tobacco control. Now, once again, we should, the first priority for this money, shouldn't it be for anti-tobacco programs? I mean, we've had a few really weird bills in the last few years from Republicans where it's, you know, very pro cigarette smoking and kind of to the point like, are we really going to have to relitigate all this? And the feeling is that there, my personal feeling is, I think Republicans look at the amount of money still being made by cigarettes, and they're still saying, "Hey, that's money I could be using in my campaigns." And so that they, you know, hey, you always will have a friend in the Republican Party. They seem to be going back to that way, and at the same time, trying to keep that. I think they're trying to keep that a little bit more on the down low. They don't want to, hey, yeah, we're for big tobacco. No, they don't want to do that because not many people would be encourage that. But I think they're definitely putting overtures towards the tobacco industry. So, you know, that's how you get this money into this general fund. How the money gets spent on everything else? No, the money should be dedicated at least initially to anti-smoking programs. And I watched this weekend, I watched a fantastic movie, an Oscar nominee from last year, Lady Bird. Watched that with my kids last night. What a great film that is. But one of the things that you see in that film is a lot of cigarette smoking. And it reminded me a lot of when you'd watch a film in the 80s and every actor, you know, even like the young kids would all have a cigarette in their mouth. Just, you know, of course the cigarette industry was paying these actors to have cigarettes. They desperately wanted them to have them. But we have a problem with vaping. Vaping is encouraging smoking again. And, you know, I still, to the life of me, how in the world we allowed, you know, people to inhale the same chemical compounds as antifreeze, I don't know. And kids are going back to smoking again. Well, we need to put the money in here. Now, I will say this, as opposed to most things, doesn't seem to be so much having to do with Republicans. I mean, the money going into the general fund, I mean, that's just where the money went. The money should be primarily spent on cigarettes, but, you know, hey, if we can find a way to give that money back to a tax break, let's do it. That's kind of the mentality. In March 2018, the Minnesota Attorney General Lori Swanson filed a lawsuit in Ramsey County District Court against the tobacco companies R.J. Reynolds Tobacco and ITG Brands to recoup payments that had not been made since 2015. Reynolds sold four of its cigarette brands to ITG to resolve antitrust concerns after Reynolds acquired another large tobacco manufacturer, Lorillard Incorporated, in 2015, and the four brands' payments to Minnesota stopped that year. Reynolds and ITG have been since sued each other over who bears responsibility for the payments. Our position is that ITG purchased these brands and should be making the payments, says Reynolds spokesperson Michael Shannon. ITG spokesman Mark Smith said, "We are currently paying Minnesota all legally required fees on the products we are selling in the state." My guess would be is that somewhere in this paperwork of the sales, this was discussed, and they're just basically trying to figure out a way to renegotiate it. Go get these guys for, I mean, if it's 2015, that's 4 years. That's $60 million they owe us at this point. Go get these guys and get that money from them. And I just, it's insanity. I mean, the stuff that we are going to have to refight again for the Civil Rights Act, against Nazis, against cigarettes. Come on. You know, I've already seen this play out once before. I don't need a sequel. Phil is in New York. Let's get Phil in here before the break. Welcome on in, Phil.
Hey, Matt. On the Albany Times Union newspaper,
yes.
Every week, Matt, there are full-page ads for Juul, that vaping mechanism. Full-page ads. Make the switch.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to encourage people. Make the switch from cigarettes and get addicted on vaping.
You know where else you see those at? A lot of the college newspapers have banned those ads now because they were doing the same thing there.
Well, kids are getting addicted the first time they use it. It's and they must be they must be piling on the money to the politicians. How they get away with this, I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, because like I said, the chemical makeup of the stuff is like antifreeze. I mean, it's horrible for the body, and yet they make it seem like it's a safe option just because you can go up to someone and blow the exhale in their face and they don't start coughing. Which, I mean, I think we can talk about the social, regulations around blowing, anything into someone's face. But it is scary because they're saying is that the cigarette companies are now, initially they did not like the vaping companies, but now they're liking them because they're realizing the vaping companies are actually a gateway to back to cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely. I just hope they get legislated out of advertising, out of business.
Well, Phil, I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, and thank you very much. All my best out in Albany, New York. I do appreciate your calls whenever you do call on in. This is crazy stuff, man. I mean, seriously. And the cigarette companies are – and why do cigarette companies feel like they can hold off on this $15 million payment? Well, they got political allies that are going to fight for them. And in this state, in Minnesota, there are a shocking amount of Republicans who seem to be more than willing to get back into bed with big tobacco. Yeah. What was the name of that movie with Al Pacino and Russell Crowe? It was An Informant? No. Well, it was the one where Russell Crowe was the guy testifying against the big tobacco about it being addictive. And
we'll have to look it up during the break. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, God, what was that? That was a great film. That's a film which if you really want to feel, how evil the cigarette companies could be, that's a good one to go with. Let's take that break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And now when we do return, the fight over milk. We'll talk about that when we come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
After celebrating the Blue Wave at the Blue State Ball, join me, Tom Hartman, the morning after for brunch at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. The brunch will include a small group of other AM 950 listeners as you get to discuss with me the big issues of the day in an intimate setting. It takes place Sunday, March 3rd at 10:30 with a delicious brunch at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. There's plenty of free parking available in the lot next to the Downtowner Woodfire Grill and across the street at Burger Moe's. Tickets are $150 and are very limited, so guarantee your spot at my brunch now by calling 952-946-8885. Again, it's your chance to meet with me in a small group setting the day after the Blue State Ball on Sunday, March 3rd at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill. For tickets, call 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. Details at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. See you there.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and they offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they're paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I could talk about this North Carolina election, which now this has gotten really ugly. It sounds like that the elections board there has uncovered a coordinated fraud attempt. They've determined that clearly there are enough ballots that have been tampered with to overrule the 900 vote margin of victory the Republicans supposedly had. And just think about that. How brazen do you have to be to alter that many ballots and have proof that you altered that many ballots against you and then still insist that the Republicans should be seated? Wow. Could talk about that, but I want to talk about milk. Al Overland is not saying you should refer to almond milk as nut juice. He's also not saying you shouldn't, that you shouldn't call it nut juice, though. I've heard it called just that, says Overland, a dairy farmer near Sturgeon Lake. They can call it juice or beverage, whatever they wish, but we just don't like them calling it milk. Dairy farmers who are struggling with widespread industry consolidation and low prices and declining demand are becoming even more fed up with the non-dairy products in the grocery store labeled as milk. The number of different types of milk available to consumers has ballooned in recent years. First, it was just soy, then almond milk, coconut milk, rice milk. Now there is oat milk and pea milk. The Food and Drug Administration is mulling whether to update its rules for how to label plant-based foods and has been lobbied hard by both the dairy and plant-based producers. Really? This is the fight you're having? Oh, God. Are you going after milk of magnesia, too? I mean, are you? I don't think I've ever gone into the pharmacy and grabbed a, oh, look, here is some milk here on the counter in the stomach remedies area. I will put this on my cereal. Why does it taste so chalky? My Captain Crunch isn't as delicious as usual. Some people, I mean, you are looking for a fight. You have to try. I feel sorry for your milk industry, and I do feel sorry that things are going, you know, there are less and less sales. You know, getting into unnecessary trade wars with foreign countries that decimated a quarter of the year's dairy supply, that probably didn't help you. But I don't think, is anyone really sitting there and think when they have soy milk that it's milk? It's just a name. I don't think it's, you know, I was going to go get soy milk or I was going to go get really dairy milk. They must, how big are the nipples on the soybeans if they have to get the milk out of them? No one's saying that, for God's sakes. Or almond milk. Or, yeah, Al Overland's suggestion or non-suggestion of nut juice. Or nut blood. Yeah, boy. You're trying to kill the industry, right? That's what you're trying to do. I got to surrender humans if they ever do change the name of it to nut juice. So I'll have that surrender humans up before too long, okay? Dear milk industry, I think you're being a little sensitive. You've allowed Velveeta to be called cheese. So I think you're outraged.
That's pretty good. I like Velveeta cheese.
You've allowed that to be called cheese. It says cheese on the side. But if you know, now here's where you draw the line. No, I would make an argument that you're looking for a fight, or you're looking for a solution for a problem that has yet to be really, really created. Because I don't know any person that gets almond milk, soy milk, any other kind of alternative plant-based milk variety is getting it and debating whether they want actual dairy milk. No, they're specifically getting this mainly because they can't drink the other stuff. Hey, we're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.